Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance, and we are rolling along as we kick off Super Week on this Monday. We've got the best shot of the weekend, the worst team of the year, a quarterback no one understands, Rich Gannon coming up live, and the assembled members of the hashtag crew are ready. Let's rock and roll. Here we go.
Here we go!
Only one place to start.
All right, my place to start is my buddy Jeremy Fowler, who was sneaky tall, was in our studio this morning for Get Up, and it stays for a few extra minutes here with the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. NFL insider extraordinaire. You see him on ESPN all the time, but if you've never been in the same room with him, and Fowler, you and I have not been in the same room a lot of times.
Yep.
Each time I see you, I am taken aback. How tall are you?
I'm 6'4".
Yeah, you're sneaky tall.
I'm only 16 years old, so I just keep growing. That's the problem.
We got into the elevator. We both arrived in the building today at the same time, and he gets in the elevator, and I said, oh, I think it's Jeremy. Whoa. And I look up, and I'm like, holy smoke, he's a head taller than I am.
I can hoop a little bit.
All right, yep. We got a million things to get to here. All the stuff that we covered on Get Up today, I want to go through as best we can here.
Yep.
I feel like you are of the belief that the likeliest outcome of the Aaron Rodgers offseason is that he remains in Green Bay. I don't want to put words in your mouth, and I know all this is fluid.
Yeah.
But from the people you talk to, is that right now your sense of the likeliest outcome here?
If I were to pick a scenario right now, I would say yes. The wild card is, though, there is no more unpredictable quarterback in the NFL than Aaron Rodgers, right? He could show up tomorrow and say, I'm going to go to Hawaii for 6 months, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to be on a different team.
Like, right.
You know, so that's the uncertainty. But from the Packers' standpoint, the fact that they've come out full frontal in unison, publicly and privately, and said, you know, we're adamant we want him back, speaks a lot to me, because they weathered the storm of last year, and their strategy was, hey, we're going to sit back, we're going to let him come to us, he can vent if he needs to, but we're not trading him. And it worked out. You know, they didn't win the Super Bowl, but a productive year. Rodgers feels like he's in a better place with the organization. So it seems to be trending that way.
Okay, that's fascinating to me, because that is that is the opposite of what I had sensed. Now, I sensed he was going to get himself out of there come hell or high water last year as well. And he wasn't. My feeling has always been he didn't, because he couldn't. He just couldn't find a way out with the contract.
Right.
But for him to stay now, not only do the Packers have to want it, but he has to want it. And they have to figure out a bunch of stuff contractually, and they got to figure out the Devontae of it all. And he says he doesn't want to be part of a rebuild. I mean, all those things feel like they're big factors to me.
Yeah, and he could do that. I mean, as you remember in the summer where he and Devontae Adams posted pictures of Jordan and Pippen with the Last Dance tease.
Right.
So they could still revisit that and hold firm and say, hey, this is it. We want out. You know, they're going to have to, the Packers would regardless have to commit to him once again long term. He's got 1 year left on his deal. His contract voids in 2023, 7 days before the new league year. And he's got a $46 million cap hit this year. So they have to address that. And I think if they're willing to say, hey, Aaron, you know, we love you here. Here's what we're willing to do. Despite drafting Jordan Love 2 years ago, we're going to extend you at a huge number. I think that he would be satisfied with that. That would be my impression right now. Now, that can always change, and Aaron Rodgers is unpredictable.
Right, we're greedy. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Meanwhile, he bought land in Tennessee. Aaron Rodgers bought land in Tennessee. And I know we made a lot of jokes this morning on Get Up and everything else about how, well, maybe I would know. I'm telling you right now, that's not a thing people do. Like, I know a lot of people who have a lot more money than I have, including Aaron Rodgers. They don't buy land in Tennessee. Like, that's just not a thing they randomly do.
Nashville's a hotspot, though.
And I get that. But so you get yourself a condo in Nashville.
Right.
You don't buy land in a place you're planning on visiting every now and again. So the fact that he bought land in Nashville, that's not, I get it. Like, someone brought up, well, Rex Ryan bought land in Nashville. Rex Ryan lives in Nashville.
Right.
He didn't buy land there. He moved there. There is a huge difference. When you buy land somewhere, you're basically saying you're doing one of two things. A, you are moving there. Or B, this is going to become my primary, like, vacation destination.
Right.
And unless we think that he and Shailene are going to be spending a ton of time in Nashville, hanging out on Broadway, you know, listening to all the country music. And again, Nashville, I get it. It's super hot. People love it and all that kind of stuff. But that's not where Rodgers is hanging out.
Right.
the fact that he bought land in Nashville had a lot of people pointing at the Titans, who would be out of their minds not to go after Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, if they're forced, they would have to at least look into it.
Forced?
No, I mean,
they should be begging.
If he moved there with intentions of playing with the Titans.
Yeah. Or is even considering it. Look, Ryan Tannehill threw three interceptions in a home playoff loss. Aaron Rodgers hasn't thrown three interceptions in a game in 5 years.
Right.
It is not insulting to anyone to say Aaron Rodgers would be a significant upgrade. You put Aaron Rodgers on Tennessee, they would never lose a game again.
See, here's the problem. Ryan Tannehill's contract is set up for 2023. They could walk away. Right now, he's got a $57 million dead money hit, which, not to bore you with the numbers, but that means like – that they would have to demolish a lot of their roster.
No, I get it. That's not boring. $57 million in dead money is not. You're
it's
not
just,
boring me at
it's
all.
It's just tough to do. I know it's Aaron Rodgers. It would be tough to do right now. If it was next year, I could see it. I know you take your chances for a top quarterback like Rodgers. I just. I haven't gotten the sense they're looking for a quarterback.
Why does he have land in Tennessee? And this is what I want to know.
Well, he's grown his hair out.
Yes.
He's going to get into the country
music
business.
He does play that guitar on McAfee's show. Well, do we think he like has? Like, at one point, I think he thought he was going to be the host of Jeopardy. Now, do we think he wants to become a country singer? Is that on the list of options here? Is he going to be hanging out, what is it, the Grand Ole Opry? Is that right? Is that the, that's the place, right?
We're talking about Aaron Rodgers here.
I understand that.
Like, he could be kayaking in Guatemala right now. Like,
right.
I have no idea with this guy. Like, that was what was so fascinating about last offseason. Anything felt possible. And now he could buy land in Tennessee, and it feels totally plausible that he would do that.
Yeah, I think he's going, and I think he's going to the AFC, and everyone continues to point to Denver, including me, because they've basically put together, you know, Green Bay West on the coaching staff there. But we have to keep some of the other options open. That leads us then to Russell Wilson, because there was a moment in time when Russell Wilson, we thought, was definitely leaving Seattle. The agent gives the list of four teams to Shefty. One of those is Chicago. They're set. One of them is Dallas. They paid Dak. Yeah. One of them is New Orleans. That's a total rebuild, right? Like, New Orleans right now is like 70-something million dollars over the cap. That is Russell, there's no earthly reason why he would want to go there right now. Sean Payton is gone.
Yeah.
And the fourth one is the Raiders. So, I don't know. Like, they've got Josh McDaniels there now. Derek Carr is much better than people generally think. So where does this leave Russell Wilson this offseason?
Right, because Derek Carr is a top 12 quarterback right now.
Right.
And so, you know, he's a pretty safe bet to keep and maybe extend. I don't know if there's a logical spot, because the problem is, let's say you take a team like Philly, right?
Right.
It has two top picks, or three top picks.
Three first-round picks.
Yeah, three first-round picks. You know, they can make a move if they're not sold on Jalen Hurts, but that's in the NFC. I don't know that Seattle is going to want to trade him in their conference. If they do, they probably want to send him to the AFC. You know, Denver's a piece where if they can't get Rodgers, it makes some sense to get Russell Wilson.
Right.
You know, because they have a good running game. They're built on that, have been for a long time. All they've needed is a quarterback and somebody who's at least capable in the passing game. So Wilson would be a good fit on field there. I just sense, talking to people in that organization, that a trade is not something they're expecting right now. My sources would be surprised if he's dealt as of now. They're in a better place relationally, that like they've gotten through the year and realized, okay, maybe we need each other more than we thought. But Seattle's still going to try to stay true to the formula of running the ball and defense. And if Russell doesn't want that anymore, he's going to have to force the issue and request a trade. I'm not sure that he's going to do that.
All right. Greeny and Jeremy Fowler for another moment with us here. Let's make this one now. Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Is there another big shoe that drops? Which is to say, if Rodgers stays in Green Bay, Wilson stays in Seattle, you know, there are teams out there that need quarterbacks. So what's another name I should be, or fans should be, thinking about as far as a possibility there?
Well, I would go Jimmy Garoppolo, because he's the one that's obviously going to be dealt.
Right. He's
going
to move.
He's going to move, and he could fill, you know, a pretty big spot here. Deshaun Watson's out there, and, you know, his
case. Do
we have
any sense of a timeline on that? I hate even putting that in a football context, because obviously
tough.
It goes so far beyond that, but I mean, if he is eligible to play football again, then obviously that does become a very interesting option.
He's hopeful that things will be resolved, whether that's in March, before free agency, before the draft. It needs to be before the draft, right? Because if you're going to swing a trade, that's the time to do it. Nick Caserio, the GM, knows that, like, look, he's been sitting on this for a year plus. They're going to have to make something happen. Whoever trades for him knows that the suspension will be built in, most likely. But Watson is looking at fits, and he wants to win. And it's not as simple as before. It seemed like it was Miami or bust. maybe another team or two he would consider, but he wanted to go to Miami with Brian Flores. Right now, I think it's much more open, and I think he's attainable for a winner. And you know, like teams like Minnesota, Tampa Bay, like they could come to mind here and be factors if they want to be.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. You just reminded me very quickly the latest on the Brian Flores thing. Like that just sort of keeps moving on. The lawsuit is out there. It doesn't look like he's going to get hired in Houston. That seems to be going Lovie Smith. He wasn't going to get hired in Miami. Forgetting that, they hired a coach. The New Orleans job is the last one that's open. What, if anything, is new regarding the lawsuit?
Well, everybody's really in a holding pattern right now because the next step is to see who joins this class action lawsuit. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to take getting through the hiring cycle. Assuming Brian Flores does not occupy one of these last two jobs, which he's not, the Texans and Saints, which he's largely not expected to.
Right.
You get through that, and then it's like, okay, who's going to join? Is it, say, a former head coach who's out of the game who maybe doesn't have an immediate job to worry about that they would go and join him? Hugh Jackson's been vocal about maybe wanting to do that. You know, if it's a strength in numbers type of thing, it could force the NFL to act. But, the NFL came out this weekend, made clear that they're going to continue to try to find some sort of solution here, even though you can't really legislate the desire of these owners. Maybe they can further incentivize and give teams that are actually making the hiring more draft picks as opposed to the team who's losing a minority candidate, where you can still get, like, just to give teams a stronger reason to do it.
Look, that's such a, what can you say? I mean, that part of the story is so difficult to talk about without becoming frustrated at the very idea of it. There's also the Stephen Ross offered him $100,000 per loss allegation. That's the one that feels like if there is some sort of, hard, fast, dead to rights evidence of that, that's one they can't just pretend didn't happen, right?
No, and they say they're going to investigate that, so we'll see what the findings are. And that needs to be a true, real probe here, because the feeling now, the growing sense around the league is like, okay, players are investigated and held to the furthest extent of the law or the suspension. Owners are not, and I understand they own the team and it's maybe a different circumstance, but in this case, if it's compromising the on-field product and the integrity of the game, it's something the league's going to have to dig into pretty severely here.
All right. The sneaky tall Jeremy Fowler, thank you very much for hanging out, my man. It's good to have you.
Yeah. Thanks,
Green. As the news comes in, just you'll let us know. Hey, did you know that according to research, 90% of employers plan to enhance their employee experience this year? And if you need to add more employees, there's ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's technology finds qualified candidates for your job, and you can invite your top choices to apply. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. On the way, Rich Gannon will join us live. Plus, the worst thing that could ever happen to a sport is about to happen to a sport. I'll tell you which one and why right after this. My name's Greeny, and this is ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. And again, here's the host of the SiriusXM Blitz, weekdays noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the SiriusXM NFL Radio Channel. Terrific quarterback Rich Gannon is with me on ESPN Radio. Good morning, Rich Gannon.
Greeny, it's great to be with you, brother. We're out here in L.A. It's the start of Super Bowl week, and everyone's excited for what I'm hoping is going to be a pretty incredible game between two teams that really deserve to be here.
Now, I agree. I'm the jealousy, I hope that it is dripping from my voice as I sit here amidst the snow and the freezing rain in New York and hear that you're in L.A. enjoying the warm weather and everything else. But let's focus on the quarterbacks because that's what it's really all about. You know, and Hembo and I were just sitting here talking about this. Like, you could make an argument that in his life, as young as he is, Joe Burrow has actually played more huge games than Matthew Stafford has. Stafford has been there in Detroit where they were just bad and they never won a playoff game. So he played three playoff games before this. Didn't play in any games of that magnitude in college. Whereas Burrow, he went to Bryant-Denny and won that game at LSU. He played a national semifinal. He played a national championship game on the college level. And now these playoff games. So what is this for Stafford? How do you anticipate this for Stafford, considering all that is at stake for him?
Well, Green, you bring up a good point. I mean, you think about, you know, Burrow and Stafford. I mean, they really entered the postseason with zero playoff wins. And obviously, they both won three straight playoff games to get here. But I think in Stafford's situation, you can say, well, didn't have a lot of success in the postseason, didn't play in many postseason games. But I don't know how much of that is his fault. I mean, he was in a situation in Detroit that wasn't very good. I think at times it was dysfunctional. And he wasn't surrounded by a great deal of talent. I mean, the offensive line was mediocre. There was never really a great running game. There was so much turnover at the wide receiver position, even the coaching position. I think, you know, when you have a quarterback that's developing as a young player early in his career, and you have a new coordinator, a new play caller, a new system, it's tough. And I just think that that was a really difficult period for him. And I just think he really embraced this opportunity once he found out a year ago that he was going to get traded to the Rams and be able to partner with Sean McVay, who's a brilliant play caller. I think he sees the game through the eyes of the quarterback. And to know that he's with a team that's coming off of a Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and he just felt like this was an opportunity of a lifetime. And he's really capitalized. I'm happy for him and the success that he's had this year with the Rams.
Yeah, me too. And you know, we had a little bit of a debate on our TV show this morning. I mean, I believe that he has justified it now. You know, I believe that the aggressive move the Rams went out and made to get him, you know, there were 30 teams that would give anything to be where they're sitting right now. I understand the objective is to win this thing, but I'm not one who will say on Monday morning if the Bengals beat the Rams, I'm not one who will say that for Stafford or for the Rams that this strategy of going all in as aggressively as they did was a failure. Now, I don't mean to bring up a bad memory, but you know, you're a guy who's been to a Super Bowl and came up just short in it. So what is your perspective on that? If the Rams don't win this thing, will they have failed in the aggressive offseason and everything else that they had in putting this thing together?
Greeny, I agree with you. I mean, what's the alternative? I mean, if you're not going to go all in, then what are you going to do? Right. I mean, you know, you can't fault Wes Snead and Sean McVay for trying to build a championship team now. You've got a quarterback that, you know, isn't getting any younger. He's a talented player. And I think, you know, you look at some of the decisions that they made to go out and get Von Miller and to make those type of decisions even during the season, OBJ, and even adding Eric Weddle, who's brought, I think, some stability. He's a great communicator on the back end. But I just think when you look at Stafford, you know, I think if he can just behave himself, I would say this, the stakes are magnified in the postseason. Mm-hmm. In other words, if he throws a couple picks, in a game like this, you're throwing those picks, you're giving the ball in great field position to a guy like Joe Burrow, a good play caller, and Zach Taylor. They don't need any help. I always said that when you're going into these type of games, there's such a premium on making good decisions and taking care of the football. I just think if Stafford plays like he's capable of playing and he stays in his lane, in other words, he doesn't try and fit one into a tight window to OBJ or to Cooper Kupp, and he just can take care of the football, I think they've got a really good chance. But I agree with you. I just think that you look at the decision to go out and get Matthew Stafford, what he's meant to this football team. I think he's obviously a better player than Jared Goff. I think he brings better playmaking ability. I think he's got a better arm talent. I think he's more accurate. And I think more than importantly, he brings some juice. He brings some energy. He brings some confidence to that football team. And I'm not so sure that they felt with Jared Goff that they had a chance to go out and be the best team in football every week.
Rich Gannon with us here again, the SiriusXM Blitz weekdays on the SiriusXM NFL radio channel. And then there's the other side. Through a quarterback's eyes, I really want to hear your breakdown of Joe Burrow, because when you look at the great young quarterbacks in the AFC, Herbert and Allen are so big and strong and powerful with arms. I mean, they, you know, just like cannons for an arm. And you got Mahomes, who maybe the flashiest, most spectacular plays of any quarterback we've ever seen. And you have Lamar Jackson, when he's at his best, he just jumps off the screen, so dynamic in the things that he does. So how is Burrow, who doesn't seem to have any of those obvious tangibles, how does he manage to be the one who's here in the Super Bowl and the one that some people are looking at and saying he might wind up being the best one of them all?
You know, Greeny, when the Bengals made him the first overall pick back in 20, you just felt like this was not going to be the same old Bengals. And, you know, even going back and look at the 10 games that he played last year before he had the ACL injury, there was something different about this group. I just think he brings an air of confidence to them. I think some of his best qualities and intangibles are as a quarterback are his poise, his confidence, his leadership, his ability to play his best football late in games when it matters the most. And I just think that this team has rallied around that. And I just think this year, I mean, I've been saying really going back to September, this isn't your same old Bengals. I mean, you know, for years, the Bengals have been the laughing stock of the league. Even when Andy Dalton was there with Marvin Lewis and they were winning 10 games a year. I mean, they went through that stretch there. Dalton and A.J. Green, their first 4 years together, they won 40 games. But yet they'd get to the postseason and they would lose and lose in convincing fashion. I just think this is a different operation. I think they've improved defensively. I think they've gotten better around him. They've got more playmakers. They go out and get Jamar Chase. But I think the key to it all is Joe Burrow. And I just think he's maybe not an elite passer, but he's accurate. He's tough. He'll sit in there. I mean, how's a quarterback get sacked 9 times in a playoff game on the road in Nashville and still find a way to come out of it with a victory? And I think, you know, when you watched him late in that game, when you hit a quarterback like that, their footwork sometimes can be compromised. They won't sit in there. The ball's coming out a bit early. They're not willing to take the hit. Not this guy. This guy's tough as nails.
I'm with you. And Hembo just gave me a great stat here. During the regular season, Stafford actually threw the most interceptions of any team in the sport, of any quarterback. Burrow took the most sacks of any quarterback in the league. So it might come down to which weakness is either more or less magnified by the quarterback / the offensive team. We'll see what happens on Sunday. Rich, I'll let you go. I know you're busy out there this week. Thank you so much. Enjoy the week and the game, and we will check in again soon. Thanks for doing this.
Greeny, you're the best at what you do, brother. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. It's Rich Gannon with us here. Again, he was the MVP. Oh, I forgot to ask him about the tuck rule. Is he still sitting there, Nuno? I screwed that up. I should have asked him about that. We aired the 30 for 30 last night, and I didn't get a chance to see it. I did some work for it. I have no idea if they wound up using me or not, but I was one of the people they talked to about it. But he was obviously the quarterback of the Raiders that year, and he was the MVP of the NFL that year when they wound up losing to New England on that ridiculous game.
It was the year after the tuck rule he won the MVP.
Oh, he was the MVP the next year.
In 2002, the
year
he went to the Super Bowl.
Also very good. They went to the Super Bowl and
it was
awesome. Okay, fair enough. I forgot to ask him about that, but it's not as relevant to what's going on right now as otherwise. You know what? I want to save plenty of time to get into all the basketball that I planned here, so let's dive into that for a minute. So, Hembo, if I were to make the statement, Joe Burrow, who is, what is he, 24 years old? And Matthew Stafford turns 34 today.
That's right.
So Stafford has been in the league 10, 11 years longer than Burrow and is 10 years older.
Burrow just turned 25, by the way.
So he's 9 years older and has been in the league a decade longer. And yet I would argue Joe Burrow has more big game experience in his life than Matthew Stafford does. Does that hold water?
It does. You even go back to Stafford's college career. He played one New Year's Six Bowl. It was a 41-10 win over Hawaii. It was like the worst bowl game of all time. You might remember that game. Hawaii obviously had no right being there. And this is his first run to the, you know, to a Super Bowl, obviously given all of his time in Detroit. And what we know is that Joe Burrow has been nails in these circumstances. He played like 4 huge games in 2019. Not only played well at LSU during those games, didn't even throw a single interception, and his numbers were off the chart. So
right.
I agree with that sentiment. It's not just recently. The entire body of work would suggest that Joe Burrow has played more big games than Matthew Stafford and played incredibly well while doing so.
Let me give you the specific numbers. He has played 7 de facto playoff games. Now, you're the one who gave me this stat. That would mean the 3 he's played thus far here, the 2 that he played in college, and what are the other 2?
The other 2 are the SEC championship that year, and then the game at Alabama, which determined that.
So massive games, monster games. In those 7 games, He has averaged 363 yards passing per game. He has thrown 23 touchdowns and two interceptions. And his team is 7-0. Three of those games, they've been an underdog. Along the way, he has actually beaten Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Dabo Sweeney, and Andy Reid, all of whom are championship-winning and Hall of Fame head coaches. All of them will wind up in their respective Halls of Fame, and he has beaten them all. So the idea that he's an underdog this week strikes me as insane. So do you buy that? Let me bring Bubba into this conversation. We've not yet had a chance to hear from hashtag Bubba and hashtag Nuno today. Bubba, do you buy that? Joe Burrow has more big game experience. Stafford has played three playoff games in his career, lost all three. Now, I don't mean this necessarily as a knock on one of them was the Cowboys, right?
Yep.
And the games are so nondescript, I can't remember them. I want to say they lost to Seattle one year in a playoff game, like on a Saturday night. Do I have that right?
I think that was New Orleans, wasn't it?
I don't remember who they that's the point. Like the Lions playoff games are so unmemorable. I can't even remember. I remember the Cowboy game because there was a questionable call.
That right call.
In that game, yeah. The Cowboy fans loved it. Didn't they lose to Seattle on a Saturday night?
That's right. They lost to Seattle 26-6, and they also lost to New Orleans 45-28.
Okay, so
plus the Dallas game.
They got killed in two of the three games, and then the Cowboy game was somewhat controversial. So is it fair to say that while Stafford is the veteran and Burrow is in his second year, that the experience, the edge in quarterback experience actually goes to Cincinnati in this Super Bowl, Bubba?
Yeah, I think it's more than fair. I think it makes perfect sense, especially because the things we're talking about, Stafford, those were 5, 6, 7 years ago. You can't even remember what they were. What game was that? Who knows? This is Burrow. It's recent. It just happened. Burrow, it's like big game after big game after big game after big game. And he just wins. So I think it makes perfect sense, and I'm with you.
That's What's On Your Mind, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life with the assembled members of the hashtag crew. Nuno, you are next. Who has the edge in the quarterback matchup, in this Super Bowl? Is it Burrow or is it Stafford?
I think it's Burrow. I think at, even if they go down in this game, there's not going to be a point, I think, that you're questioning Joe Burrow and can he bring the team back? Can he make the right play? Whereas I think with Stafford, you're going to feel that pressure. I think he's going to feel that pressure because let's just go back to a week ago. He threw an interception that would have ended the game if they catch it. Like, or at least, you know, San Francisco going to score there.
Tart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, he threw that. There's been a lot of questionable, contrary to what Dan Orlovsky says on every platform that he's on, there were some questionable decisions and some questionable plays. And I think everyone, believes that Joe Burrow will make the right play.
Look, you have to take Orlovsky out of it. I love Dan. He is one of my favorite people. He is one of the best analysts of quarterback play that there is working in the industry. But he is hopelessly biased when it comes to Stafford, and I have no issue with it. Like today we asked who has the advantage at quarterback in the Super Bowl. He said Stafford. Look, if I said who has the advantage, Matthew Stafford or Johnny Unitas in his prime, he would take Stafford. If I said Matthew Stafford or Joe Montana in his prime, he would take Stafford. I have no issue with it. He makes no bones about it. But I think it has to be said, Joe Burrow was losing 21-3 on the road against Mahomes in a stadium. Everyone talks about how impossible it is to go into Kansas City and win there, even though in the playoffs everyone seems to. The idea that Kansas City is a tough place to play, we need to get that out of the conversation.
That and Green Bay, both. Right? That and Green Bay both.
Green Bay, at least for a while, was a hard place to play in the playoffs. Now it is, more teams wind up winning there than losing there. But Kansas City, all they've had for the most part is enormous playoff disappointment.
That's right.
And that's with Joe Montana and Patrick Mahomes and all these guys. They've lost a lot of home playoff games. So anyway, I think that the quarterback edge in the Super Bowl belongs to Cincinnati.
I'd like to come to the defense of Dan Orlovsky, Joe, for just a moment, because Dan often says there's no quarterback in the fourth quarter who I trust more than Matthew Stafford. But we know he's biased. However, Greeny, Matthew Stafford has won, including the playoffs, 89 games in his career. And amongst those 89 games, 44 have required a game-winning drive, meaning if he finds a way to do that again this weekend, 45 of his 90 career wins have been on his back. That's a pretty impressive number.
Look, he threw the big pass that winds up beating Tampa in that game, against Brady. But outside of that, they let the Bucs back in that game. they had that game put away, and they turned it over repeatedly. True. Now, that was the game where they turned it over four times, and none of them was an interception, which those of us who had Matthew Stafford in the over of plus five interceptions were very frustrated to see. But we'll see. Anyway, that to me is one of the interesting sidebars of this Super Bowl. The edge in big game experience for the quarterbacks goes to the kid. Goes to Burrow. All right, I didn't get to what I had planned, but I promise I will next. The worst thing that could happen to a sport is about to happen to a sport.
Greeny, the podcast.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Greeny with you here, presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. So I told you the worst thing that could happen to a sport is about to happen to a sport. And the sport is the NBA, which through my entire childhood has been my favorite sport. I grew up more than anything a basketball fan, sitting in the smoke-filled seats of Madison Square Garden next to my dad. To this day, I love the way a cigar smells, because when I was six, people would smoke them inside the garden, and we'd go to the Knicks games. And the regular season of the NBA has been dangerously devalued. And I don't want to go through the whole history of that. It began with Greg Popovich, and it has become a real problem in the sport. But if what I think is about to happen happens, then I think it goes to an entirely other level. So let me say two things at the same time. One, the Brooklyn Nets are awful. They've lost eight straight games. They don't look like a team that could compete with anyone at all. Their defensive efficiency numbers going back to like the middle of December are the worst in the NBA. They can't stop anybody. And what's worse, they don't look like they really particularly care. James Harden is sitting out games left and right that it certainly feels like if they mattered more, he'd be playing. Durant is hurt, and what can you do about that? We all know about the situation with Kyrie. So all those things are true. What is also true at the same time is they remain the betting favorite in Las Vegas to win the championship. And Las Vegas isn't wrong, and none of us think they're wrong. If those three guys are healthy and active and even remotely invested by the time the playoffs start, I do think they will win the East. In fact, I don't know. I mean, I watch Phoenix play. Phoenix is obviously great. Golden State, let's see exactly what they look like when they're all together and Clay has his legs a little more under him and Draymond comes back. But I think if those three guys are fully healthy, I think there's an excellent chance the Nets win the championship. Now, here we are on February, whatever today is, 7th, wherever we are. We're in February, and the three of them have played 32 minutes together. 32 minutes this season. So I ask you, Hembo, what will it mean for the league if the Nets just sit out the regular season and win the championship?
It will mean that the regular season is totally meaningless, not just kind of meaningless. Even going back to last year, these three players have only played 16 games together, a total of 364 minutes over the last 2 years. So it demonstrates, I think, your point very clearly. They're very easy to root against, and that's obviously what I'm doing in addition to almost every basketball fan in the country. But I ultimately think that you're wrong in the sense that I don't consider, at least I don't consider them the favorite to do so, even though Vegas does, because there there's something to be said for continuity. And there are teams in the league that are excellent, that are less talented. And I think once you sort of butt up against those teams in the playoffs, I actually think they will lose.
Hold on a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the playoffs, okay? Let's go to your Sixers, who are the darlings of the Eastern Conference right now. And I think Joel Embiid, I will have an MVP vote. If I had to vote today, I would vote Embiid the MVP of the league.
Mm.
Right this minute, I would vote him the MVP of the league. But when they get into the playoffs, and you've got Durant scoring from anywhere he wants, anytime he wants, and no Ben Simmons, who would be the best defensive wing option they have, and those games get into a half-court scenario, and you got those three options. Now, again, the Kyrie is only going to be there half the games is a factor. But the Sixers are going to have a better record. So the Nets are going to have four games worth of Kyrie. Who wins that series?
The Nets win that series. In the Eastern Conference, the team that I think is likelier to win is actually Milwaukee.
It's Milwaukee. Yeah. So, Nuno, let me come to you. Milwaukee will have home court advantage against the Nets. Four games of Kyrie, Harden, and Durant. The Nets should have beat them easily, could have beaten them last year. Durant, if his foot was 1 inch shorter, would have made a three to beat them last year. And when they were even remotely healthy in that series, the Nets were winning that game, those games by 30 points. So those three guys against Milwaukee in a best of seven, four games of Kyrie, who wins?
I still think the Nets might. If you're giving me a healthy Harden, a healthy Durant, and four games of Kyrie,
right.
I think the Nets will win that.
I think they win it easily, to be honest with you. I mean, look, basketball is a game where the best players win. And I have great respect for the other guys, all the other good players on that team, Middleton and Drew and those guys. But at the end of the day, when you put together the four best players on the court at any given time, three of them play for Brooklyn and the other one is Giannis. Because Kyrie, I mean, you watch him play. Look, Kyrie, all the issues in the world you have with the guy for any number of reasons. But when you just watch him play with the ball in his hands, he's ridiculous. He's so ridiculously good. Then you get to Miami. Miami, Milwaukee, Philly, who else in the East are we even taking seriously at this point? Miami? You think Miami beats those guys?
No, I don't think Miami beats
those guys. Me neither. So they're in the final, and they're going to play. They will have four games of Kyrie in the NBA Finals against either Golden State or Phoenix. Memphis is a great story. Utah's good. It'll be either Golden State or Phoenix. So, I mean, at this point, I think we've already given them a 50-50 chance of winning the championship or something like that. And I'll take my chances with those three guys for four games against the other guys. I mean, the only series in history where the point spread will be based upon the road team rather than the home team. But that's what it'll be. So that's where we are. And I get that the circumstances are unique. I'm not knocking Durant at all. He's hurt and that's it. What are you going to do? He's hurt. And the Kyrie thing, look, that's a whole other, it's like an unprecedented set of circumstances in NBA history. And Harden, who knows what's going on in his head, but Woj tells me over and over again, they're not going to trade him. So that trio, plus the pieces they put around him, are going to make a run at this thing. And if they're healthy, I think they're going to win the whole thing. We'll continue in a moment on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcast.